Shalom to all. Today's office of our Basar Daf Ayin Beis, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Miriam Sar, Basar Yaakov Moshe, her Neshama should have an Aliyah. Now, we were right in the middle of a sugya. Rav Huna had taught the one who sells his field but retains two trees for himself also retains the karka under and around the trees. Now, at first, the Gemara suggested that this is even according to Rabbi Akiva, the Meicher Ba'ayin Yafa Meicher, and that would technically mean that all the property is sold. But over here, Rabbi Akiva would agree that the fellow is not only retaining the trees for himself but also the property. However, afterwards, the Gemara proved that Reb Shimon in the Mishnah does not hold like this from the case of one who's makdish his field, and that the charav and shikma are included in that because they're being yonik, they're deriving nourishment from hektesh, and that clearly shows that the karka is not retained along with the trees. And so the Gemara retracted, explaining that really Rav Huna's din is only in shitas rabbanon, whereas Reb Shimon in the Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva his rabbi. However, now the Gemara asks on this: Umimatzus mukmas la Reb Shimon Rabbi Kiva? Could we really say that Reb Shimon holds like Rabbi Kiva? But Tanya, we have a brisa that talks about being makdish a field, and it's important to note there's two different ways to be makdish and subsequently paida a field and or trees. If a person is makdish, let's just say one tree or a regular field, so it's simply redeemed at its value. Whatever its value in the market is, that's how much he can redeem it at. But it's not so with a person's steachuza, his ancestral land, the one that his forefathers received during the original division of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah tells us that if a person's makdish his steachuza, he number one has up until yovel to redeem it, and also it's not redeemed at its market value. That's the key over here. Rather, at a set rate called beis zera chaymer sa'irim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Namely, every section of land in which a chaymer of barley could be planted is redeemed at a rate of a little more than one silver shekel per year remaining till yovel. Now, that's not only if he's makdish his steh achuza, just a plain old field. That's also if he's makdish a steh ilon, a field that has trees in it. Namely, he was makdish trees that come along with the field, so that would have the same din. And that's what this brisa tells us. Hikdish lesh ilonis humata asar lebe saw. If a person was makdish three trees, they were planted in the same formation as 10 to a base saw. We'll explain this in just a moment. Harei hikdish as a karka vesa ilonis shebeinehem. He's also makdish the ground underneath them and any small trees that are planted in between them. Let's explain what this means. Mata asar lebe saw. So there's a din that we learned about earlier in the Masechta. 10 saplings planted in a base saw each have 250 square amis to be yonik from. An entire base saw is linked to the growth of the trees. And that's what this mata asar lebe saw is. And what the Gemara just told us is that by the same token, three fully grown trees, not saplings, but fully grown ones, planted in the same arrangement with each having 250 square amis to be yonik from, is also considered to be a stay ilon. And that means that when he's makdish these three trees, not only are the trees hektish, but also the property under and around them and any small trees in between them. Lefikach, therefore, the brisa continues. Kshu paida, when he's being paida them like a stay achuza, paida beis zera chaymer sa'irim b'chamishim shekel kesef. However, pachas mikan, oy, yoyser al-kain, if there's less space in between these trees or more space in between these trees, that means they're not set up to derive proper nourishment from the ground and they're eventually going to be uprooted, so they're not considered a stay ilon. Oy, shekdishim b'zachar zeh. Or even though these trees were arranged properly, they were set up the requisite distance from each other, he was makdish them one after another, not all together. So in all these cases, he's not makdish the ground under and around them or the smaller trees in between them. Therefore, when he's being paida these trees, he just redeems each tree individually at its value, and it's not considered like he was makdish a steh achuza. And not only that, says the brisa, even if he was makdish these trees one after another, like we said, he went and was makdish the karka that's under and around them. Still, it's not considered like he was makdish trees and the property together. Namely, when he's being paid to them, he redeems the trees based off of their value. It's not considered like a stay ilon. Then he redeems the property at the rate that he would a regular stay achuza. But again, in this case, when he was makdish the trees one after another, and afterwards was makdish the field under them, still it's considered like two separate types of hektish, and they're redeemed two separate ways. And so now the Gemara asks, money, who's this price like? Rabbi Kiva, if you want to say it's Rabbi Kiva, well, Amar, Rabbi Kiva says, that when a person sells something, he does so with ayin yafe, and he sells everything possible, and v'chol shekein makdish. For sure, if a person is makdish, of course he's makdish everything. And therefore, even if he's makdish trees one after another, we would say that he's being makdish ba'ayin yafe, and we would automatically include the property under and around the trees in that hektish, and therefore should be considered like he's being makdish a stay ilon, and the brisa doesn't say that. And irabanon, if you want to say it's going like the rabanon, ha'amri, you're right that they said, meicher hu d'ba'ayin ra meicher, that when a person sells a property, he sells ba'ayin ra, avol makdish, but they agree that when a person is makdish something, ba'ayin yafe makdish, then he's also makdish ba'ayin yafe. And therefore the brisa can't be the rabanon, because they would agree to Rabbi Kiva on this point, that when a person is makdish, it's ba'ayin yafe. So who's the brisa like? That when a person is makdish three trees one after another, the ground under them is not included. Pshita Reb Shimon. It must be that it's Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon in our Mishnah had said that when a person is Makdish his property, nothing's included in that. So it makes sense to say in Shitas Reb Shimon that if a person is Makdish three trees, one after another, the ground does not include them. The question is, Reb Shimon Alibi Deman, who's Reb Shimon going like? E Alibi Rabbi Kiva, if you want to say he's going Shitas Rabbi Kiva, well, Ha'amar, Meicher Bayan Yafa, Meicher, Vakol Shekhan Makdish. We just said in Shitas Rabbi Kiva that when a person sells something, it's Bayan Yafa, and for sure, when he's Makdish it, it's Bayan Yafa. So El Pshita Alibi Rabbanon. It has to be that Reb Shimon is going in Shitas Rabbanon, and because of Reb Shimon holds, Ki Heich de Meicher Bayan Ra Meicher, the same way that when a person sells something, he sells Bayan Ra, Makdish Nami, Bayan Ra Makdish, Umeshayar Ara. When a person is Makdish something, he's also Makdish Bayan Ra, and he retains the land for himself, and that's who the price is like Reb Shimon Aliba de Rabbanon. Then when a person is makdish three trees one after another, that's being done by Ayin Ra. It's not including the property underneath it, and therefore it's not considered like he was makdish a stay Elon, and we don't treat it like a stay Achuza. We treat it just like a regular hektish of an individual tree. And now that we understand who the price is like, we can go back to the top line of this Gemara. We had asked, how could it be the Reb Shimon goes like Rabbi Kiva? We see very clearly from his brisa the Reb Shimon goes like the Rabbanon and not like Rabbi Kiva. Great question. And the Gemara doesn't just stop at this question, because really this brings us back to square one. We had said the Rav Huna holds that when a person sells their land but keeps two trees for themselves, they also keep the land in and around the trees. And we attempted to explain that this is according to the Chachamim who hold Meicher Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. The problem is that even though Rav Shimon agrees with Chacham on this point, he also says that a Makdish is like a Meicher, but he holds that when one is Makdish a field and keeps a tree, he does not keep the Karka. And so according to whom is Rav Huna's din that when a person sells his property and retains two trees for himself, he also retains the property. It doesn't seem to be going according to anybody. So I am based on top of the Gemara answers this by showing how Shitas Reb Shimon himself is a problem, and based off of the way we're going to understand Shitas Reb Shimon, we'll be able to understand Rav Huna as well. Velakasha, we have a problem in Shitas Reb Shimon. Remember, Reb Shimon in the Mishnah had told us that when a person is makdish their field, the charv and shikma are also included in that hektish, even though he wants to retain it for himself. It's against his will that they're considered hektish. Why is that? Hoyel v'yankim stay hektish? Because they're getting their nourishment from a hektish field, and the reason why it's contradictory in Reb Shimon himself is because if he holds meicher ba'ayin ra meicher, then it doesn't make sense to say that when he's makdish, which is just like meicher, he doesn't keep the karka for himself. Why not? It's ba'ayin ra. Why are you telling me that when he's makdish it, he's retaining the trees for himself but not the karka, and because of that, the trees are also hektish? If makdish is like meicher and meicher ba'ayin ra meicher, so when he retains the charv and the shikma for himself, he also should retain the karka under them, and they should not become hektish. So Reb Shimon himself is problematic. And the answer to that is as follows: El Reb Shimon l'divrim d'rabbanon kamerlehu. Reb Shimon is really going in shitas rabbanon, and this is what he's saying. L'didi, according to me, ki hechid meicher ba'ayin ra meicher, makdish nami ba'ayin ra makdish. The same way that a person sells, he sells ba'ayin ra, so too, when he's makdish ba'ayin ra, v'shiyurim mishayir. And he is mishayir the karka underneath those trees for himself, and actually those trees do not become hektish, according to Reb Shimon. So what's pshat in the Mishnah? It seems to be that Reb Shimon didn't say like that. He's really going in shitas rabbanon. He's telling them that l'didchu, according to you, rabbanon, oidu limiha, at least agree to me, dulai hektish elochar v'amorka v'sadin ha-shikma. That the only things that should become hektish here are the charav and the shikma. In other words, Reb Shimon's telling the chachamim, why are you going like Rabbi Kiva, that when a person has makdish their field, every single thing in the field is included? Meaning, it's the most generous, it's the most ayin yafa you could possibly think of. It should at least be a balanced ayin yafa, if you will. Say that he retains most things for himself, just not the charav and the shikma, because they're getting nourishment from the ground. Vamrilei Rabbanan and the Rabbanan are telling him, Laishna, there's really no difference. And we disagree with you even on that point, and when it comes to hektish, we go like Rabbi Kiva all the way, the makdish ba'ayin yafa makdish to the greatest extent. And now we have a brand new pshat. Really, the Reb Shimon in our Mishnah is not Reb Shimon. It's just Reb Shimon addressing Shitas Chachamim, trying to convince the Chachamim to hold the following, but it's not that he actually holds that. And therefore, we don't have any issue with Rav Huna either. Rav Huna could actually go like Rabbi Kiva. Our whole original problem with that was that Reb Shimon in our Mishnah was saying X, Y, and Z, and that doesn't fit with Shitas Rav Huna. But now that we're understanding that Reb Shimon in our Mishnah is not actually Reb Shimon, therefore we could say that Rav Huna does go like Rabbi Kiva, and we don't have any problems over here. And the Gemara asks on our understanding, "B'mayu kimto la Reb Shimon?" And that which you explained, this brayso going like Reb Shimon, as we went through the whole shakel v'tarya on Amud Aleph, who's the brayso like? It's not Rabbi Kiva, it's not the Chachamim. It must be it's Reb Shimon in Shitas Chachamim, just like Meicher ba'ayin ra Meicher. So to Makdish ba'ayin ra Makdish, we have an issue with this. Ema Seifa, take a look at the Seifa of the brayso. What does it tell us? V'loy oid. Not only that, ela filu hektish ha'ilanos. Even if a person was makdish the trees, v'chazav hektish ha'sakarka, and then he was makdish the property, k'shu paida, when he's paida everything here, paida se'ilanos b'shavyein, he redeems the trees just for the regular value. V'chazav paida be'zer chamer sarim v'chamishim shekel kesef, then he's paida the property like it's a stay achuza. Now v'ir Reb Shimon, if you want to say that the brayso is Reb Shimon, lezel basar pidyon. Why don't we just go basar its status when he's actually being paida it? V'nifiku agav arayhu, and we should be paida the trees agav the land. In other words, the question is, is, since the Braisa is Shitas Rav Shimon, so then we should just simply say that when he actually comes around to being paid to the trees on the property, both of them happen to be Hakdesh, even though he made them Hakdesh at two separate points in time. Right now, when he's being paid to them, they're both Hakdesh, so he should be paid to the trees, agav the land. And the same way the land is being treated as a Steachuza, so too we should treat the trees as a Steachuza. And how do we know that we could say this? Dashamina Le, the Rav Shimon, the Azal Basar Pidyon. We see in Rav Shimon that he goes Basar Pidyon when it's actually being redeemed. The Tanya Weaver Brisa tells as follows. We not only care so me aviv. How do we know if a person buys a field from his father, Vikdisha, and then he was Makdashit, the Achakach Mes Aviv, and then his father died, and that means that the son is inheriting the field. How do you know that the field is actually treated like a Steachuza? Even though when he was Makdashit, it wasn't a Steachuza, he had just bought it from his father, but now that he inherited it because his father had died, we look at it as a Steachuza. Tamlan, because the Pasuk says, Vimestay Mikdasai, Asher Loim Steachuzasai. If a person was Makdash, a Ste Mikna, a field that he had purchased, which is not a Steachuza. Now, what do we learn from here? Sada She'en Ru'uyo Li Steachuza. That this is talking about a field that's not able to be a Steachuza. That's what the Pasuk's talking about by saying, Ste Miknasai, a field that he had bought, it's not a Steachuza. Yatzazu, that excludes this field that we're talking about, She'ru'uyo Li Steachuza, it's able to be a Steachuza because it was his father's. So even though he had bought it from his father, and it technically looks like a Ste Mikna, since it was his father's, and now his father died and he inherits it from him, it's considered a Steachuza. Div Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, this is what Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon say. Whereas Rabbi Meir says that no, this pasuk is talking about a different din. Minayin lekeach sadeh me'aviv. How do we know if he bought a field from his father, umes aviv, and then his father died, ve'achar kach hekdesh, and then he was makdish the field? Minayin shtei lefanu kesteachuza. How do we know that it's only in this situation that the field is considered steachuza? Tamalem, because the pasuk says vimes dey miknasa shalom steachuza soi. What do we learn from here? Sada she'ene steachuza, that the pasuk is talking about a field which is not a steachuza. Yatzazu, it excludes this case. She's steachuza. It is considered steachuza because even though he had bought it from his father had then died, which basically means that he inherits it from his father, and then he was makdashit. So by the time he was makdashit, it was considered a steachuza already then. Now we further explain. V'ilu Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, and Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon in the first part of the Braisa, Heichad Meis Aviv Achach Kedisha, if he had bought the field from his father, then his father died, and then he was makdashit, let's rechikra. We don't need a pasuk to tell us that that's considered a steachuza. Of course it's considered a steachuza. Kiyas Recho, what do we need the pasuk for? Heichad Kedisha, it's where he was makdashit first, v'achachach Meis Aviv, and then his father died. And it's in that situation, the pasuk is telling us that it's considered a steachuza and not a stay mikna. But the question is, minalahu, how do they know that? If it's just from this pasuk that they quoted, maybe we would say that the pasuk is really supposed to be understood like Rav Meir understands it, and not like Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon understand it. It can't just be from this pasuk. It must be that it's not just based off of the pasuk. It's also because Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, focusing on Rav Shimon over here, goes basar pidyon, and that we focus on its status when he's redeeming it. And since when he comes to redeem the field, it's his because he yarshined it from his father, so it doesn't really make a difference when he was makdashit. It could even be that he was makdashit when his father was still alive and is only considered stay mikna by him, since at the end of the day, when he's redeeming it, it's considered stay achuza because his father had already died, so therefore he is a stay achuza. And so we see very clearly the Rav Shimon goes basar pidyon. Back to our question, if the Braisa really is Rav Shimon, why does the safe of the Braisa tell us that when he was first makdash three trees and then he was makdash the property, they're redeemed with two separate dinim, and we don't go basar pidyon, and we don't just say since he's redeeming them all the same time, it's all treated like a steachuza? So the Gemara answers, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he tells us, La'olam ba'alma, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, lo'y azli basar pidyon. Really, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon don't go basar pidyon. Over here, they just simply found the pasuk and they darshened it. And the way they understand this pasuk of imistei miknasa asher lo'im steachuzasai is as follows. Im kain, if their din is not correct, lichtev kra, all the pasuk should say is v'imistei miknasa asher lo'y achuzasai. Inami or should say steachuzasai. My, why does the pasuk use the lashon of asher lo'im steachuzasai? That it's a stay mikna, which is not a steachuza. It must be that it's telling us as she'in ru'uyo li'a steachuza. If it's not fit to be a steachuza, then it's considered a stay mikna. Yatzazu, it excludes this case. She'ru'uyo li'a steachuza, it's able to be a steachuza, and that's the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say their din over here, but it's not because we go basar pidyon. Now going back to discuss this charv and this shikma that we say are not included in the sale of a field, and we're going to further highlight where we see they have such unique din. Amrav Huna, Rav Huna tells us, charv hamurkav asad and a shikma, this fully mature charv and shikma, tairas ilan olav, vitairas karka olav. It's not only treated like a tree, it's also treated like property. Tairas ilan olav is considered a tree, dehechad akdesh, oizavin shnei ilanois, vahai, that if he was makdesh or sold, two other trees, and one of these, meaning either a charev or a shikma, yesh lekarka, that includes the karka along with it, because it's considered like three trees were makdish or sold. And so we see it's considered like a tree. Whereas taras karka alav, this tree is also considered like karka, meaning it's considered like its own unique entity. Deloy mizdaben agav ara, it's not included in the sale of a property, even if a person sells his property with everything in it. A charev and a shikma are not included, which basically means it's considered like its own separate piece of property, and it's not part of this one that's being sold. And we're going to find a similar din somewhere else. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says, Oimer shiyesh bais asayim, if we have a big bundle of grain that's the size of two sa'ah, tayras oimer olav, v'tayras gadish olav, it's not only considered a bundle, it's also considered a gadish, it's considered a pile. Tayras oimer olav, it's considered like a bundle, the shnei oimarim shecha, shnayim v'hu, einon shecha, that if a person forgot two bundles in their field, that's considered shecha, and he has to leave them for the anim, he's not allowed to come back and get them. Whereas if you forgot two bundles and this one as well, this big one that has two sa'ah in it, does not consider shecha, because we know that if a person forgets three bundles in their field, that's not shecha, and this is considered forgetting three bundles. Whereas taras gadish olav, it's considered like a gadish, which is basically a big pile. That now we have a mission that says, oimer sheyesh bais asayim, if a person has a bundle that's the size of two sa, shecha, if he forgot it, ain shecha, it's not considered forgetting a bundle, because it's considered like you forgot a whole pile, and that doesn't fall under the din of shecha. So we see this bundle that has two sa in it is sometimes treated like a bundle, namely if it's with two other ones, it's not considered shecha, but it's also sometimes considered like a pile, namely if he only forgot this one, it's not considered shecha, because it's considered like a pile. Now going back to discuss the last case of Mishnah of being makdish a field and what's included in that hektish, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Bar Chana, Amar Ish Lakish, Charv Hamurka V'sadin HaShikma, this Charv or Shikma tree, and whether or not they're included in hektish of a field, Banal Machlekes, Reb Menachem, Reb Yaisi, Rabbanon, this brings us to Machlekes, Reb Menachem, Reb Yaisi, and the Rabbanon, namely Reb Menachem, Reb Yaisi holds that they're not included in the hektish of the field, whereas the Chum hold they are included in the hektish of the field. Ask the Gemara, Ayin Gemara Ma'af on top, V'lei Machlekes, Reb Shem, Rabbanon. Why do we say that this is the Machlekes of Reb Shem and the Rabbanon? Because that's exactly the same Machlekes. The Gemara answers, Hakamash Malon, where Ish Lakish is trying to teach us, is that the Reb Menachem, Reb Yaisi, Reb Shimon, Sfirale. The Reb Menachem, Reb Yaisi holds like Reb Shimon, that not only Meicher Bayin Ra Meicher, but also Makdish Bayin Ra Makdish, and therefore when he's Makdish a field, he not only retains the Charv and a Shikma, but he also retains the property underneath them, and that's why they're not Hektish. Hadron Lacham Meicher Sabayas, Malzor finishing the fourth parak of Mesechus Baba Basra, just like we're Zechar to finish this parak together, we should be Zechar to finish the entire Mesechus together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, starting the brand new parak. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.